fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Your friends don't play fantasy? LOL. What a bunch of nerds.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Here we go. Welcome to the show. It is Wednesday. It's our Wednesday show. Those are the best ones. Am I right, guys? Am I right?
I typically usually are, but probably not today.
No, they're going to be even better today. We got Chris Towers in the house today. No Dave and Jamie today. They are off this morning for Yom Kippur. I am stepping up to the plate and making sure this podcast still has... I mean, couldn't do a Chris Heath show.
No, that would be a disaster.
That would be crazy.
It would basically just be, he sucks.
Yeah, it would just be an hour of us talking about how bad Melvin Gordon is.
Which it might be anyway. It could be. No, today actually it should be a fun show. We're going to talk about first round busts and also look at players who are thriving, sort of surprisingly, and how legit that is. But I think this is a really interesting time. I mean, you go back and look at last year, and you look at even Odell Beckham through the first four games last year, not mm-hmm. five, but the first four games. And his numbers last year compared to this year in four games, remarkably similar except for the touchdowns. You look at Brandon Cooks, five or six, I think it was maybe seven or eight really bad games or disappointing games for fantasy owners. And then he was huge.
His fifth game, he had like 120 yards last year.
Beckham or Cooks?
Cooks.
Okay, Beckham too, actually.
Yeah.
You look at C.J. Anderson, right, and over 6 yards per carry last roughly half of the season. So you've got an opportunity here as a fantasy owner to identify some good buy-low candidates and get a great player on your team. We're just going to try to help out and see who that player is and who really is a buy-low and who's Jeremy Hill. Because you know what? This time last year, guys, I was probably saying, buy-low on Jeremy Hill. He's going to turn it around. And sometimes it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So, we'll try to decipher, and we'll get the legito meter out as
well. You
know
who's Jeremy Hill?
Jeremy Hill?
Melvin Gordon.
Melvin Gordon catches passes.
Hill was bad last year is what I'm saying.
But he scored a touchdown, so he's fine.
Yeah, fair. But the difference is the pass catching.
Right. I agreed.
That's right. Okay, there will be no Fantasy Baseball Today podcast today. I just want to say that for all of those of you who listen to both shows. Was going to do one with Scott today. He is sick.
Aw.
Yeah, Scott.
Come on, Scott.
Scott's sick, so he's out today. Hopefully later in the week we'll get one
sick
going.
Sick of watching Clayton Kershaw pitch in the playoffs.
All right, so listen, I didn't... what happened? Did he pitch well until the seventh?
Yes,
and then
he
the bullpen blew it for
well.
Him?
He went 6 2/3 and gave up 5 runs.
Give me the real...
That's a fact.
He struck out 11 in 6 2/3 innings, ran into some trouble late, had a... It was really like a bloop single, got two outs, had an 8-pitch walk to Bryce Harper... And then they brought in their not good relievers for some reason.
So what was the score going into the seventh?
5-2.
So he gave up 2 runs through six.
Yes.
Okay. He pitched pretty well.
A quality start almost.
He's not clutch.
I mean, look, man, there is pretty much a track record here of him being pretty
exactly.
bad at the plate. It's true. You can't just poo-poo it. It's true.
He's basically the Andy Dalton of baseball.
He's great
in the regular season.
He's not clutch. Madison Bumgarner is clutch.
Madison Bumgarner, he's not for some reason. Fine. Let me ask you, who would you rather have to pitch game seven?
Clayton Kershaw every time.
No, you're wrong.
I will take game seven of the regular season or the World Series?
The World Series.
I will take the guy who's the better pitcher.
Who was the number one most added player in CBSSports.com leagues?
I have to assume it was Sammy Coates.
No, I think it was too highly owned.
Chris Hogan?
I think it was Cameron Meredith.
You were right about Coates being too highly owned, and you were wrong about all your other guesses. Tennessee DST, the Titans, the number one most added player. Not a bad one. As we mentioned yesterday, every defense, except for the Dolphins, has scored double-digit fantasy points against the Cleveland Browns. So they're your number one.
I didn't add the Titans. I just added the Bears.
I noticed last night, Heath, as I was looking at all my leagues, that our Rejects League, 1-4, our team is so good, I couldn't even think of a player to add or drop.
I'm in that spot with one league where I don't like my team that much, and I can't make any roster moves.
I have several 1-4 and 2-3 teams that have Jamal Charles and or Doug Martin, and I'm just hoping I can get through one more week.
All right.
I've got one league where I've got Latavius Murray, Dez Bryant, Dante Moncrief, and it's just like... I can't drop anybody because I have too many guys that I have to stash.
Year of the running back. Let's talk about this. Guys, looking at Antonio Brown, right? Not consensus, but number one overall pick for a lot of people. Number one wide receiver 2 years in a row. And the good thing about him, when you want to compare him to running backs, is Brown basically had the same exact fantasy season in 2014 and 2015. 244 fantasy points in 2014, 245 in 2015. And let's compare him to running backs, right? Because this was kind of the year of the wide receiver in draft day. Might not be the case anymore. In 2014, Brown was outscored by three running backs in standard scoring leagues, but he outscored all of them by at least 17 fantasy points in PPR. Now, last year, he scored three more fantasy points than the number one running back in standard scoring leagues and 72 more than that running back, Devontae Freeman, in PPR leagues. So again, to recap, 2014, three running backs actually outscored Antonio Brown in standard. 2015, not the case. He outscored all of them. This year, seven running backs so far are outscoring Antonio Brown in standard scoring leagues. One of them, DeMarco Murray, has outscored him in PPR leagues. So, through 5 weeks, what do you think? Those running backs are scoring more fantasy points than the wide receivers right now. What's your take on that?
It's almost like last year was an anomaly where we just had a lot of running backs get hurt and didn't have as good of a running back year.
Well, yes, but to be fair, look at the first round running backs. There are three major busts so far: Gurley, Peterson, and Lamar Miller.
Yes.
Okay.
There's David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott. They've been the good ones.
By that measure, we're also saying that Odell Beckham, DeAndre Hopkins are also major busts.
Yes.
Okay.
They are on my first, and Gronkowski, but I think we probably feel the best about him, you know, living up to expectations. I looked at Fantasy Pros top 12 ADPs, and there are six busts.
I mean,
so far.
Go three more spots outside of the first round, though. You've got Allen Robinson, who's been pretty much a bust so far. Dez Bryant's definitely been a bust. It hasn't been a great season for the top tier wide receivers, and you
just don't draft good players.
Look, fantasy's tough, you know.
Well, it's I think the takeaway is that there's no silver bullet. You know, there was a lot of like really confident talk about how zero RB was the only possible strategy that you could use to win, and like I went zero RB in a couple leagues. I had one where I felt really good about my team. I drafted Rob Gronkowski and Keenan Allen with two of my first three picks. It has not gone that well.
Mm-hmm. Well, who's your number one pick right now?
Antonio Brown.
Standard and PPR.
Like, okay, so they're going to play starting this week through the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. Le'Veon Bell.
Brown, Bell.
Antonio Brown, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I still think Bell's much more injury prone, obviously, than Brown. That might be a tiebreaker. But it's tough. Man, Le'Veon Bell's so good. So good. He faces a team like the Jets. They shut him down in the run game. You know, do a pretty good job. And what do you have, eight catches?
Nine catches for 88 yards.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
That's pretty good.
All right, look, I just wanted to bring it up. We'll see how it plays out. We can make different conclusions after week five. You know, week seven might look completely different. I also want to tell you about Fantasy Football Today, our live video show on CBSSports.com. Noon Eastern, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern on Sunday. Please check it out. It's awesome stuff. If you miss it live, you can catch it all on demand. Also, Fantasy Basketball Today, a new podcast with Chris Towers and Joe Polito, and they bring on guests as well to give you some really good fantasy advice. Yesterday, they talked about the Atlantic Division. I was in the room while they were just trashing the Knicks. It was really hurtful. Didn't appreciate that, Chris.
Nothing personal.
And the Roughing the Passer podcast, if you want your NFL picks, that's on the Thursday episode. The Tuesday episode is Will Brinson and Pete Prisco. Thursday is Will Brinson and Nick Costos. That's an awesome show. And Eye on Fantasy Football, our Saturday night radio show, 10 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sports Radio. You can listen online, cbsportsradio.com. You can go on that website to find out which local station you might be able to hear it on. Eye on Fantasy Football, 10 p.m. to midnight. We take your phone calls and help you set your lineups on Saturday night. Mispronunciation of the day. I'm a huge Vikings fan now, as we know. A few people got on me for the way I pronounced.
Lifelong.
Yeah. S-K-O-L.
Right.
Skol? Like that? Did I get it right?
The chewing tobacco?
Well, no, that's what they say, you know, for the Vikings. It's like a Viking thing. But yes, it's apparently pronounced like the chewing tobacco. But I didn't know that it was a chewing tobacco. How
do you
pronounce
it? You guys ever chewed tobacco?
No.
No?
No, we're not from the Midwest.
You have.
100%. Oh, yeah. I went through a...
You played high school baseball.
...phase where... I did not.
Oh, okay.
I played high school golf, so it's the same thing. Still chew tobacco. No, I definitely had a chewing tobacco phase.
I'm glad you kicked it. I remember walking on the team bus for the Miami baseball team, and not all of them, but several of them were dipping, and one guy offered it to me. Actually, the sports information director offered it to me, and I was so grossed out because they're sitting there with their cups or like their empty water bottles.
Yeah.
Oh, awful habit. But Skoll, is that how we pronounce the chewing tobacco?
Yes.
All right. Skoll it is. Email of the day, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. George from a city in California. Dear some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath. Headsets off. Chris Towers can't take it anymore.
Great work, George. George is my favorite listener.
Who are some stash candidates you want on your team? Are some better than others? Would you rather have Thomas Rawls if you're the Kristen Michael owner, etc.? What do you guys think? You know, it's interesting. I kind of had to drop a little bit of Kenneth Dixon, a little Smallwood last night to make waiver claims. So stash candidates might be the first guy you drop next week. But still, it's worth stashing, guys. Who do you got?
Devontae Booker. I've been stashing him in a keeper league especially. His playing time has gone up every single week. I think CJ Anderson only out-touched him by 4 this week. Played only like 51% of the snaps, so I'm liking Devontae Booker right now.
I'm going to go a different direction.
Oh.
I'm going to say Michael Floyd.
Got dropped in two leagues.
He's been dropped in most of the leagues I'm in.
He should not be owned right now.
On the waiver wire. And I do not believe that Michael Floyd's just going to be – like, it's swung too far.
Yeah, right.
I was saying that Michael Floyd, what number two wide receiver, was way too high, but Michael Floyd on the waiver wire is way too low. Mm-hmm. He's going to have – and it might be this week. The Jets secondary is so bad, especially against the deep ball. He might play 5 snaps and have 3 touchdowns.
He's an interesting category. Sorry, Chris. He's in an interesting category where it's okay to drop him. Yeah. I get it. But it's also okay to pick him up if you have the roster spot. It's a pretty good idea.
Yeah,
but
that's the problem for me is that he's been their number 4 wide receiver the last 2 weeks, and that's just
it's only 2 weeks though.
It's only
John
2 weeks,
Brown was completely irrelevant at the start of the season.
Yeah, but at least he had an excuse. You know, he had the concussion in preseason, barely played, only played.
Well, Michael Floyd
has
an excuse. There's 2 receivers better than him on the team.
Yeah, but that wouldn't explain why he's 4th.
He's getting in trouble for dropping balls. No question.
Romo's a clear answer. At quarterback.
Well, now, did you see what Jerry Jones said yesterday? Now he's.
I don't care what Jerry Jones said.
You don't?
No, Jerry Jones says.
He says lots of things.
I almost had to get bleeped out there. He says things every day, and they rarely mean anything.
I did pick up Romo in a league yesterday. I think he's a good stash. How about Ladarius Green? His ankle is getting better. The soonest he can come back, Ladarius Green is week 9. So we're in week 6 right now. It's not that far off.
Yeah, I mean, you can throw Deion Lewis in there as well.
Yep.
In a similar situation. That feels like such a long shot, though. Because that's the earliest he can come back is week 9, but he's had the concussion issues. He's, you know, one play away from probably missing the rest of the season. It's just, I don't know if I can use a roster spot on a stash tight end.
Corey Coleman.
Is a stash?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking Tevin Coleman. Yeah, Corey Coleman. Yeah,
and then I think like if you're looking for a guy that's not hurt but is a handcuff but not your handcuff, you can't forget about Alf because you're one Ezekiel Elliott injury away from Alfred Morris being a top 15 back, maybe better.
Yeah. Tough one to drop. Okay, time for your tweet of the day. What does the Colin Kaepernick news, he's starting for the San Francisco 49ers now, mean for Carlos Hyde's production? This one comes from Michael.
I think it means good things. I looked it up yesterday, actually. Colin Kaepernick started 8 games for the 49ers last season, ran 14 read option plays all season. In the first 5 games of this season, Blaine Gabbert has already kept the ball on 16 read options. They're running that play a lot more, and most of the evidence suggests that running backs do better when they play next to running quarterbacks and when they play in the read option system. It just makes their lives easier.
As long as you're not DeMarco Murray.
Sure. Yeah. Well, no, that's the thing is last season Philadelphia it was Chip Kelly's offense.
Right.
They were basically doing fake read options, but Sam Bradford was never keeping the ball on the read option.
Yeah, he's a bad quarterback to be running that.
Well,
did you know that Blaine Gabbert leads all quarterbacks in rushing yards?
Yeah, he's on pace for like 800 rushing yards. He's run the ball 45 times, I think, through 5 games. I think Colin Kaepernick only ran the ball 49 times last season entirely. So
you think it's more handoffs and less quarterback runs?
Not now, no.
Well, no, I think...
Did I say less handoffs or more handoffs? I said more, right? Okay, go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
I don't think it changes Carlos Hyde's role at all. I think he'll still get the ball. I think Colin Kaepernick's going to run the ball about as much as Blaine Gabbert has been. He'll just run the ball better.
We expect Colin Kaepernick to be better at running the ball than Gabbert.
Yeah.
Gabbert's
their offense should be better.
Gabbert's athletic for a quarterback. I definitely, yes. I think Colin Kaepernick's a much better quarterback than Blaine Gabbert. I don't have trouble saying that.
Do you think Kaepernick in a two quarterback league will be better than Trevor Siemian?
No.
It's really close. The problem is that Trevor Siemian has two elite receivers.
Yeah.
Kaepernick got pretty bad last year, and Chip Kelly's been honest, and he said he's not in the physical condition that he was. When, first of all, Kaepernick, I looked it up this morning, he was like the number 14 quarterback in 2013, number 16 quarterback in 2014. So he wasn't great, even with the rushing totals. He's throwing for like 3,200, 3,300 yards, not a lot of touchdowns, right around 20 touchdowns. But I think he was better than that in 2012 when he took over halfway through.
Oh, yeah, he was like top five.
Yeah, but he threw like no interceptions, right? But 2013 to 14, he wasn't that good. We're only considering him in two quarterback leagues.
Yes. This could have an effect, though. Like, a lot of people picked up Jeremy Curley.
Yeah.
I think it might be bad for him.
It's hard to say.
I wonder if it's possibly a small bump for Torrey Smith, making him somebody to consider again.
They got Buffalo this week. Buffalo actually right now second fewest fantasy points allowed to opposing quarterbacks. They have allowed 14 to Flacco, 22 to Fitzpatrick on Thursday, 3 to Palmer, 8 to Brissett, and 6 to Keenum.
They haven't faced a good quarterback yet.
Carson Palmer? No. Your news and notes other than Kaepernick. Carson Palmer was cleared to practice and should start this week against the Jets on Monday Night Football. Where is he in your ranking, Carson Palmer?
7th or 8th.
Okay. Trevor Siemian expected to play. We're going to preview that game in just a little bit. That's the Thursday night game at San Diego. Detroit signed Justin Forsett, but Dwayne Washington is expected back this week. Forsett is not somebody I saw added in my leagues, maybe one or two out of nine. What is your opinion on this?
I definitely put a claim in him for in our 16-team league. I'm not sure in any of our other leagues, but yeah, I don't expect much.
Miami. By the way, Washington expected back today, and he is someone, or this week, he is someone I saw dropped. I don't know how good he's going to be, but, you know, should play. Miami cut three offensive linemen.
That'll fix it.
In advance of Pittsburgh coming to town. The Eagles' right tackle, Lane Johnson, is suspended for 10 games. This could be a pretty big hit for them. They're at Washington, and we'll see how this affects them. He has played all four games this season so far, and now Lane Johnson is suspended for 10. Tremaine Johnson, cornerback for the Rams. He will miss a few weeks with a high ankle sprain as they visit Detroit this week. And Dez Bryant, unlikely to play, according to the Dallas Morning News, at Green Bay. Do you expect the following players? Jeremy Hill at New England.
Yes.
Eddie Lacy against Dallas.
Yeah.
That one seems a little more questionable, but yes.
Cam Newton at New Orleans.
Yes.
Hope so.
Jonathan Stewart at New Orleans.
Not yet.
Latavius Murray against Kansas City.
No.
Not yet.
No? All right. They were a little optimistic, but we'll wait and see. And Rashad Jennings against Baltimore.
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah,
because why
not?
Okay.
We'll have a better idea in tomorrow's show. Ask all these again.
I will. Oh, you know I will.
Very helpful.
I got a text yesterday from someone who works here. Should I say his name? He's a listener to the podcast.
No?
I won't say Darth's name. But he's probably listening right now. He said, what's the promo code for SeatGeek? Is it FFT? And I said yes. And people think I'm lying about this stuff. No, this actually happened. That's the second person this week, actually, that I've told to use SeatGeek who's actually followed through, downloaded the app, used SeatGeek to buy tickets, and saved $20. And you should follow their lead, both our coworker and my brother-in-law. They used SeatGeek over the past few days. With our offer code FFT, you get $20 back after your first purchase. And once you've already used that code, well, you're still going to use SeatGeek because it's the best website or app that you can use to buy or sell tickets. It pulls in tickets from multiple websites. That's how you get the best prices and the best deals. And our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. So to get that, download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter the promo code FFT, as in Fantasy Football Today, FFT, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download that SeatGeek app and use the promo code FFT. Earlier today, I asked Heath if he would mind printing something out for me, the notes, without looking at the notes, because I had some surprises in there. And he said, you're not playing The Feud again, are you? And I said, no, of course not. But I lied. It's time for Fantasy Feud. Here we go. For the first time this year.
Worst game ever.
What? You don't like it?
No, it's better than Team Name Tuesday.
I love Fantasy Feud. Well, here's what I recommend. Go to your interwebs. Go to Internet Explorer, whatever you're using. Probably not that.
No, definitely Internet Explorer. This podcast is being recorded in 2002.
Pull up all the teams.
Oh.
Okay, don't pull up any names. Just pull up a list of the teams, all the logos, whatever it is. That's going to help you out. Here we go. Fantasy Feud. The top five answers are on the board. I am looking for league leaders in carries, running back carries.
Ba-da-ba-ba, whatever the buzzing sound is.
Yeah,
Ezekiel Elliott.
Ezekiel Elliott is the number one answer. Pass or play?
I will play.
All right, let's play it, Chris
not,
Towers.
I'm not entirely sure what the rules are. I have to get all of them?
You have to get all five without getting three strikes.
Oh, okay, no,
and
I got
then
three
Heath
strikes.
Can steal.
Okay, I got this.
He's looking at the carries leaders right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at the carries leaders right now.
You have five seconds per answer.
Todd Gurley.
Todd Gurley is number three.
Lamar Miller.
Liz, number four.
LeGarrette Blount.
Whoa, good one. Number two.
DeMarco Murray.
Incorrect.
Oh, screw this game. This game's stupid. David Johnson.
Incorrect. Cummings family getting ready to steal over
hold
there?
Hold on. I'm looking around.
I'll give you five more seconds.
C.J. Anderson.
C.J. Anderson is incorrect.
Oh, come on.
Heath for the steal.
The number five running back.
In carries.
I know what it is.
This season, he covered most of the ones I would have guessed.
You have five
I'll
seconds.
Go with Matt Forte.
Your guess?
LeSean McCoy.
Both are wrong.
Oh, come on.
And Chris
on.
Gets the win because Heath couldn't steal. Carlos Hyde.
Oh.
Fifth most carries in football. But you got Lamar Miller and Todd Gurley
so dumb.
On there.
How did you not know that?
And we're going to talk about those two a little bit later.
Worst game ever.
I did all the hard work. All
right, one more category, unless you guys want to do another round. But we'll see. I only have two so far in the notes. So I'm looking for the top six answers. The top six answers are on the board. I want in weekly scoring, as in points per game, not overall points, the top six tight ends in fantasy. Heath.
Greg Olsen.
Greg Olsen is the number one answer. Pass or play?
I will pass.
All right, over to Chris.
Martellus Bennett.
Is number two.
Wow. Jacob Tammy.
Is incorrect.
Stupid. Jimmy Graham.
Is incorrect. Get ready to steal
Jordan over there. Reed.
Jordan Reed is number three in fantasy points per game at tight end. Three more answers.
This is points per game?
Points per game. Five seconds.
Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry is absolutely incorrect. All right, Heath, you have a chance to steal here.
Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce is number five. Aww. Tied for fifth, actually. Along with, who else did they miss? Kyle Rudolph and Delanie Walker.
Delanie. That's what they do.
How did you not get Delanie Walker? Man, do you even watch football?
Do you even watch Fantasy Feud or Family Feud? Do you guys want to do a tiebreaker round?
Yes.
All right. So why don't you?
It's the best game ever.
Why don't you pull up, or why don't you talk about those tight ends? Right. Let me read this email that we got at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. It is from Thomas Meyer. It says, "Hey Brian, Lance, and Hunter."
Brian,
Lance,
Lance, and Hunter.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't either.
Bennett's
Henry's.
Been...
Lance Henry. Is that a thing?
Yeah, I don't know.
Pence's.
Yes, that's what it is.
No, it's not.
Bennett's been hot now for 3 out of 5 weeks, number two overall tight end. Still you, over and over, don't seem to believe that he will deliver for the rest of the year. Please explain your pessimism on Martellus Bennett.
I think it's just a matter of him being the number two tight end on his own team.
Yeah.
And a lot of his production came when Gronk wasn't really participating
exactly,
very much.
Exactly.
That's why I had him as a winner on Monday, is because I think this first game with Gronk pretty much at 100% and Brady back and having that type of impact.
Gronk was definitely at 100% in this game.
Changed his outlook.
All right, you want to do another category here?
Yes.
Improv Fantasy Feud to break the tie?
Yes.
All right, here we go. The top five answers are on the board. Give me... Oh, wait, there's a three-way tie for fifth. All right, the top seven answers are on the board. Give me your 2016 leaders in pass attempts. Heath.
Alex Smith.
He guesses Travis Kelce for the tight ends, Alex Smith for the quarterbacks. No, incorrect.
What do you mean he threw 98 passes in two games?
He had a bye.
Yeah, he had a bye.
Oh, it was not per game.
No, it's not
oh,
per game.
Well.
Sorry.
That's dumb.
Philip Rivers.
Philip Rivers is incorrect.
Come on.
All right, back over to Heath.
Game. Worst game ever.
What's that?
Back over to Heath. Give me another guess.
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees is incorrect. Stop picking players who had byes. Heath, Chris.
Brock Osweiler.
Oh, my God. You guys are terrible at this
Brock
game.
Osweiler has to be on
Andrew
the list.
Luck.
Andrew Luck is number three. Pass or play?
I'll pass.
Okay. You've named every quarterback in the NFL.
Jameis Winston.
Number two.
Matthew Stafford.
Incorrect.
Jesus.
One strike.
What a disaster. Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco, number one with 216 pass attempts.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Number tied for fifth.
We've got three left?
We've got one, two, three, and fifth. And yes, we have two guys who are tied for fifth and one for fourth.
Ben Roethlisberger.
He's also tied for fifth.
Ryan Tannehill.
Incorrect. Two strikes. Two left on the board here. Heath is mulling it over.
Derek Carr.
Derek Carr is number four, which gives us one more player here.
Oh, boy. Eli Manning.
Incorrect.
I can't even think of a quarterback that you didn't name.
Yeah, you did really well there.
Yeah, this is going to be difficult. Good gosh.
I'll give you a hint.
We've named half the starting quarterbacks
no
in
hints,
the NFL.
No hints. That would be cheating. I will say Kirk Cousins.
Oh, my God. He nailed it. Yes. That's the work.
It was the only one left that hasn't missed a game or had a bye.
Good for you. How about Joe Flacco and Jameis Winston and Andrew Luck, top three, by a pretty good margin over the rest. Flacco, Winston, Luck. What do you think?
Outrageously inefficient on the first two, for sure. Joe Flacco, 5.9 yards per attempt. He has not been good.
That's the philosophy is going to change. They're going to throw the ball downfield, right? They have to. That's kind of Marty Mornhinweg's reputation, I think.
Run the ball a lot and throw the ball down the field?
Yeah. Sling it a bit. I mean, this is just ridiculous how conservative they've been offensively. But I don't know that he's going to be all that fantasy relevant. Is Andrew Luck? First of all, like I said yesterday, I still kind of have faith in Jameis Winston. I think he's had a pretty tough schedule so far. He has to play better, but it gets really favorable for them.
He hasn't improved as much as we hoped he would.
Agreed. Remember how excited I was after week one? I feel kind of stupid about it.
Yeah.
But Luck, I mean, he was one of my favorite players. If Andrew Luck has a good year, if he turns it around, because he's been fine, if he has a good year, I'm going to have a good year. So I'm very invested in Andrew Luck. What do you guys think for him going forward?
I am not invested in Andrew Luck, I don't think at all. I don't think I have a single Andrew Luck. And that just goes to my strategy. It's too easy to find quarterbacks.
But I didn't draft. I drafted him in like the late fourth or fifth round. So yeah, this was not a second round pick here.
Right, but that only matters if everybody else is everybody else was taking Aaron Rodgers and Cam Newton in the third. So it's not like you really got him as a steal.
Cam's ADP was early second, but not in our leagues. Yeah, no, but he was the fourth or fifth quarterback off the board, and I thought he had a good chance to be the number one quarterback.
I think he'll be the fourth or fifth quarterback in fantasy scoring this year. I think he probably is going to live up to value, but he's not. I don't see him being number one.
I'd rather have Breeze for sure.
I'm excited for when Moncrief comes back. I think that's going to make a big difference for him.
Is he going to block?
No, but he hasn't had a good offensive line at all.
Yeah, I was going to make the exact same comment, but I've thought about all the emails about how negative we've been. I opted not.
No, the line is killing him. It is, but also the speed of the offense. They think they're they say they're going to speed it up a little bit. So
yeah, I just,
hopefully they will. It worked 2 or 3 years ago for Ben Roethlisberger. They went no huddle, and he started tearing it up.
Luck only has one really elite season. He has the one season where he led the field in fantasy scoring. Now he's been like top eight every other season, I think.
He's good.
Last year he was top eight in points per game, even in a what everybody would consider a down year. The jump from where he's been to what we expect of him as this elite fantasy quarterback, it's only based on 1 out of 5 seasons.
No, it's based on 1 out of 4, right? One of which he got injured.
This is fifth.
And one of which it was his rookie year. So
okay,
this is what I had been arguing with you guys, and I know we see it differently. The way I saw it was, had his rookie year, second year was very good, third year he broke out. That's what I thought Andrew Luck.
The second year wasn't that much better than the first year.
I think he was a top 12 quarterback in fantasy, though.
I think he was top 12 his rookie season, too.
All right, so he had a very good rookie year then.
And
then he broke out, and he was what we expected from him. Like I said, number
Russell
one
Wilson.
Overall pick. Yeah.
Would you?
I would rather have Andrew Luck 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, see, I don't agree.
Maybe not.
For your
maybe
real
not
team?
In a 4-point. Oh, yeah, was this a real?
No, for fantasy.
Andrew Luck.
Yeah, I don't think I agree.
I think Wilson, you've got a couple days left to go get him, and he's going to be outstanding again.
Yeah.
Fully
I think
healthy.
They both could be, though.
Yeah. I said he's a top 5 quarterback, probably.
All right, cool. Let's do Denver at San Diego, and then we're going to spend the rest of the time on, trade-related stuff with Round one busts. We'll talk about Beckham, Gurley, Peterson, not Peterson, Hopkins, Gronk, Lamar Miller, and then we'll get the legitometer out, and we'll finish off with your emails and tweets. Thursday night games this season, they really haven't followed a formula, you know, and you think
that doesn't, it really shouldn't.
Well, the formula that we laid out is bad for passing, good for running.
Yeah.
It's been kind of true. And look, David Johnson and Carlos Hyde had good fantasy games.
It's good for good running backs.
The bottom line is the quarterbacks have been mostly horrible on the Thursday night games, excluding week one with Cam Newton. We don't count that one. But you're talking Fitzpatrick, Tyrod Taylor, Jacoby Brissett, Brock Osweiler, Andy Dalton, Ryan Tannehill. And then last week was Stanton and
The quarterbacks have not necessarily been terrible because it's Thursday night. They've been terrible because that's who they are.
Exactly.
Okay.
But, the only good game was the Bills-Jets game.
Right.
Those two guys did well. Anyway, it's Phillip Rivers, right? What are we doing with Phillip Rivers? He did not do very well in fantasy against Denver last year.
I think I'm sitting him.
Oh, I'm sitting him, yeah. For sure.
For who? Would you sit him for Trevor Siemian?
No. I'd sit him for Hoyer. I'd sit him for Tyrod Taylor. I'd sit him for Andy Dalton.
I might sit him for Siemian. This Denver passing defense is probably the best in football.
Well, all they have to do is line Melvin Gordon up one receiver and Dexter McCluskey the other, and they can't cover running backs, right? That's what the Falcons did.
I do not believe that that's the case.
Okay.
But maybe. Maybe the Falcons did uncover their weakness. They've been mediocre against the run. So I think Melvin Gordon is in play. They're mm-hmm. they're middle of the pack in yards per attempt. They're 20th in Football Outsiders DVA. But I don't know if I can start Phillip Rivers against this team.
Well, first of all, you have to look at what they do to wide receivers. It is unbelievable. You take a look at the last four wide receivers to face Denver. Let me just find it in the notes here. It's impressive. It's T.Y. Hilton, A.J. Green, Mike Evans, and Julio Jones. Four excellent wide receivers here. They have combined for 19 catches for 206 yards in four games and no touchdowns.
Yeah, I don't want to start any San Diego receivers.
Yeah, you got to get away from it here. And that obviously goes to Phillip Rivers and his production. So you're starting Stafford, you're starting Bortles, Mariota over Rivers?
Mariota for sure. I'm not sure about Bortles.
All right. They have the Colts, right?
I'm starting.
They play the Bears.
I'm starting Bortles over Phillip Rivers.
The Bears, right.
Yeah.
Colts and the Texans play this week.
Right.
Yes. Okay, so running backs, C.J. Anderson or Melvin Gordon, who do you like better?
Anderson.
As much as we like Booker as a stash, he hasn't done anything for fantasy, so can't start him, right?
No.
All right. How much do you like Anderson this week?
I've got him. I think it's a borderline number one running back.
Top 15.
What's that?
Top 15.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to say it.
Okay. Did you know the Chargers are allowing 3.6 yards per carry this year? It's pretty amazing. But
yeah.
Yep.
Eight rushing touchdowns, which is tied for the most in the NFL.
I don't necessarily know if either of those numbers means anything, but the eight touchdowns one definitely doesn't mean anything to me.
Would you start Jordan Howard or C.J. Anderson?
Howard.
Would you start Lamar Miller or C.J. Anderson?
Miller.
Lamar Miller.
Wow. That's a tough one for me because Miller's obviously been so bad, and it is a Thursday, which should help. I feel like there's a rushing touchdown in there for C.J. Anderson.
Oh, I think he probably gets a rushing touchdown. I think Miller may go for 150 in a touchdown against the Colts.
Would you start Terrence West or C.J. Anderson?
Anderson.
Terrence West or Melvin Gordon?
Gordon.
I've actually got West higher.
All right. Now, that's tough. So let's talk a little bit more about Melvin Gordon. First of all, do you guys want to sell high on Melvin Gordon? Just curious.
Man, the response to sell high on Melvin Gordon has been overwhelming.
Yeah, it's been really cool. I don't know if you guys are going to be right or wrong. And you're not saying sell him for nothing.
You're saying
sell him for someone awesome.
No, I gave you this list before the show. Here's a list of guys we've seen him traded for that I pretty much agree with universally. Allen Robinson, Amari Cooper, Julio Jones, Todd Gurley, Lamar Miller, Jamal Charles, Doug Martin, Mark Ingram, Jordan Howard, DeAndre Hopkins, Alshon Jeffrey, Demaryius Thomas, Rob Gronkowski. Odell Beckham.
I think the only one in there that I probably wouldn't do it for would be Jordan Howard.
There's a couple of them that are questionable.
I might have missed
a few. Yeah, there's some that like they. I would rather have the player, but I don't know if I would do the trade.
But when I thought somebody made a really good point.
I would not rather have Alshon Jeffrey than Melvin Gordon.
When I tweeted this out last night,
close.
And I can't remember who it was. I was trying to find it. But somebody said, you know, if you get those guys, it doesn't really matter if Melvin Gordon is still good the rest of the year.
Right, you should be happy
because you're
what
already
you
getting you're getting an elite player for a guy you picked in the sixth round that did great things for you.
Right, it's a good point. I made a trade offer involving Melvin Gordon yesterday, kind of an Azer trade.
Yeah.
It was Melvin Gordon, TJ Yeldon, and Steve Smith for David Johnson.
Yeah, that's awful.
Is that an Azer trade?
Yeah.
I offered it to former NFL linebacker Keith Bullock. So we'll see if he...
Name dropping.
Yeah, yeah.
I just wanted everybody to know he was playing in the league with a former NFL linebacker.
Hey, that's my most important league. That's my charity league. I get to donate $2,000, not my money. $2,000 gets donated to a charity of my choosing if I win that league. So let's root for me. All right, so Melvin Gordon is okay this week. So let's talk about Denver.
I think he's definitely startable.
Denver last year, amazing run defense, obviously. On their Thursday night game, they played one Thursday night game. They faced the Chiefs. They gave up 21 carries, 125 yards, and a touchdown to Jamal Charles. So maybe they're a little bit more vulnerable on a Thursday night. Let's do some wide receivers versus Melvin Gordon.
Okay.
Alshon
That's
Jeffrey.
Fun. Alshon.
Melvin Gordon.
This week, by the way, not rest of season, I'm saying.
Melvin
right.
Gordon.
How about Will Fuller?
Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, I think I'd go Melvin Gordon in that case. Although I do think Fuller...
Fuller's got a great matchup.
Yeah.
How about Julio Jones against Seattle?
Julio Jones.
Oh, Julio. Yeah.
Because the implication there is that you have to sit Julio Jones, and I am never sitting Julio Jones.
Oh, how about last week?
I'm never sitting Julio Jones. I don't care.
Chris, I don't understand this philosophy. It's okay to sit your first-round pick in tough matchups.
I'm not sitting Julio Jones.
Are we doing this again?
Like, you're not sitting Todd Gurley.
If you want to sit, if you want to sit Todd Gurley, fine. Todd Gurley is not...
You're cool with that now?
I know Julio Jones. Todd Gurley is no Julio Jones.
I agree, but Seattle... Look, I don't think Seattle is quite as good against wide receivers as Denver. But I will say this. I don't care what wide receiver I have. I'm probably sitting him against Denver, right? I mean, I don't know that they're going to face a receiver. I'm not sure what their schedule is. But they have faced four of the very best in football.
Right.
The last, in fantasy anyway, the last four games. I'm not start. If I had Julio Jones and they were playing the Broncos again, I'm sitting him. 100%.
Yeah, well, I'm not sitting Julio Jones this week.
Okay.
So.
All right, guys, anything else in this game? We're sitting the San Diego wide receivers. What about the Denver wide receivers?
Start them both.
By the way, Julio Jones has only faced Seattle twice. He had 127 yards and 59, so got to sit him.
if he hits 59, you're going to want to sit him.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm starting both of them with confidence.
Okay. Sanders and
one of the reasons the Chargers have given up so many rushing touchdowns is because their defense as a whole is pretty much trash, and
yeah.
Teams are always, it's kind of the same exact thing as why Melvin Gordon has a lot of rushing touchdowns. They've played a lot of bad defenses; they're always in the red zone.
And also think about this: last week was their first game without Jason Verrett. Both Oakland wide receivers scored double-digit fantasy points in standard scoring leagues. Crabtree and Cooper, and the tight ends for San Diego: Hunter Henry or Antonio Gates. Who should we go with, or should we just avoid them both?
I'm trying to avoid them both.
I'd feel okay. Tight end's such a dumpster fire that I could start either one of them.
Are there any tight ends that you would start over, like Julius Thomas?
I'd start him over both of them.
Zach Miller?
Yep.
Yep.
Dennis Pitta?
Yep.
Yep.
Jesse James?
Yep.
I think Jesse James is in exactly the same situation as either one of those guys.
Except he gets to face the Dolphins.
Okay, but he's gotten, I think his season high is 5 targets. His season high in yards is like 39.
Right. In that range,
and he's fine. If he doesn't, he's not.
Right. In that range, we're saying the same thing about all three of those guys, right? If they score, they're fine. If they don't, they're not.
Well, but I think Gates and Henry are better players.
Do we think the Steelers will be in the red zone more or less than the Chargers?
More.
A lot.
Yes.
So there's going to be more opportunities for James to score.
Sure.
I would probably take a shot on Henry or Gates over Dwayne Allen.
I agree.
The Texans have been amazing against tight ends.
Yeah, I don't buy good against tight ends as like a thing after 5 weeks. I know,
but like, look how good it's been.
I know,
it's like,
but
2 fantasy points per game.
Yeah, but like one extra touchdown catch, and
they'd still be pretty good against tight ends.
Yeah, one extra touchdown catch, and they'd be third against tight ends instead of second.
Yeah,
they have faced Chicago, Kansas City, New England, Tennessee, and Minnesota. They've actually faced some pretty good tight ends.
Okay.
Dwayne Allen's not so good where it's like,
sure,
you have to start.
I think Dwayne Allen's absolutely in that range.
The Denver DST is number 1 for Dave and Jamie and number 2 for Heath, so start them. Round one busts, Fantasy Pros ADP, 1 through 12. There were six of them, as I mentioned. Beckham, Gurley, Peterson, Hopkins, Gronkowski, and Lamar Miller. Let's take a look at all of them. Maybe not Adrian Peterson. But Beckham is number 27 at wide receiver in standard, number 23 in PPR. I have absolutely no concerns.
Zero.
No, I'd even hesitate to call him a bust.
Well, he's definitely been
not
a
even top 20. He's a bust.
He needs another touchdown, and then he'll be fine.
Okay.
And he's going to get it this week, going up against Sharice Wright.
Looking at the first seven games of last season, he averaged six catches for 75 yards. He had only two games with more than 79 yards. That was the first seven games. The last eight games of last season, he averaged almost seven catches per game, over 115 yards, nine touchdowns, and had double-digit fantasy points in seven of eight games.
It wouldn't totally shock me if he didn't end up as a top 12 player overall, just because he did get off to this slow start last year and then was absolutely ridiculous to finish the season. What you said, nine touchdowns in eight games, 115 yards per game.
116, yeah.
I don't know if that's a reasonable expectation for him. I think it would be more reasonable for me to expect his per game production from last year for the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's fair.
Rather than making up that ground.
And we talked about the Shepherd Cruz thing. Cruz hasn't really been all that targeted lately, so Beckham's still getting a lot of targets. He actually has the sixth most targets at the position. How about Todd Gurley? Todd Gurley is the number 16 running back in both standard and PPR. He has caught some passes over the last two games. It has coincided with Benny Cunningham's injury, so that's something to keep in mind. He's also faced a really tough schedule.
Yep.
At San Francisco, when they had Bowman, Seattle, at Tampa Bay, at Arizona, and Buffalo, which allows 3.5 yards per carry. This is a big week for him. Assuming the Lions don't get some of their injured guys back, they're giving up 5.1 yards per carry to running backs. If he doesn't do well this week, that's troublesome. But what's your overall thought on Todd Gurley, and should fantasy owners be looking to buy low?
I'm buying low, yes. I think he's still going to finish as a top... I mean, I don't expect him to be a top three running back anymore. He's probably not going to finish as a top five running back. I certainly expect he'll finish in the top 10. And you look at his schedule, like we talked about.
He'll finish in the top 10 or he'll be top 10 going forward?
Yes.
Both?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, he's 16 now. He's not that far off.
Right.
We talked a lot about how bad his schedule was, and it's been awful so far. I don't think it's really that much worse the rest of the way than anybody else's. It's still tough, but at Detroit's not a bad matchup.
No, it's a very good one.
The Giants are kind of a middling matchup.
I disagree. I think they're a very tough matchup.
Like, I think they're harder than average, but they're not top seven or eight. It's more difficult.
Okay.
If he was playing the Giants this week, I probably wouldn't sit him.
Carolina is not look like a tough matchup.
They do have a bye after the Giants.
Right.
We're not starting him.
Carolina doesn't look that tough.
No.
The Jets are a tough matchup.
And then it gets pretty good.
Then you got Miami, New Orleans.
At New England could be tough, but let's not dissect the schedule too much. If he's good, he should do well against most
teams.
The
one thing I would point out with Todd Gurley, at Football Outsiders, they have a stat called success rate, just number of successful runs as defined by down and distance. He was at 43% last season, which is relatively low. He was the number four running back by their DVOA rating or DYAR rating, but you look at the guys ahead of him, 50%, 48%, 62% on success rate. He was a relatively unsuccessful running back on a per-carry basis. Most of his runs weren't that good. He just hit the home runs. He was the most successful running back when it came to long carries, carries of over 15 yards. I think he has two this season, and they're both for 16 yards.
Hmm.
He had multiple carries of more than 50 yards last season, multiple carries of over 40 yards. I think 10 carries of over 40 yards last season, something like that. So the question is, has he lost that ability? Is there something different about what the Rams are doing that makes it less likely for him to hit those long runs?
Or is it dumb luck?
Or is it just a little bit of bad luck? Is it that, you know, if he breaks one extra tackle on one run and he goes off for a 70-yard touchdown in one of the first five games, we probably look at him very differently. And that's not to say that, like, you just give him credit for a 70-yard touchdown. That'd be a stupid thing to do. But it's he's the same guy, basically, I think.
Well, I brought this up in the preseason because, you know, Heath, you were pretty critical of Devontae Freeman, right? Because
yep.
He struggled at the end of the season. So did Todd Gurley.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, averaged in his last eight games 3.93 yards per carry.
3.93?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's still like a full yard more than what Freeman did.
Absolutely. But we expected more from Gurley than we did Freeman. And it's just fair to mention that that's most of his career, right? Eight games. And now, through five games, he's averaging 2.7 yards per carry. So, look, I think we all think he's pretty good. He was drafted, was it 10th, 11th, for a reason. He was awesome in college before the injury. But it's not a certainty that he's great. We're not 100%... We're not 100% sure on who he is as a player, Todd Gurley. And if he's not involved in the passing game...
Yeah, I mean, he was,
I don't value him as a first-round pick anymore. If I'm drafting today and for the rest of the season, I'm not taking him in the first round.
He was the same guy in...
we have a visitor.
Yes.
Outside our office. Oh, repping
Golden State. San Francisco.
Yes.
All right. That's
okay.
Jim Lanzone, the boss of all bosses.
Yeah, he was the same guy in college. He was a big play guy who was, you know, there were a lot of kind of unsuccessful carries in there. So I think he's mostly still the same guy.
Okay, Gurley or Charles?
Gurley.
Yeah, I'd take Gurley.
No way, really?
Yes, absolutely.
I'd take Charles. If you see something good this week from Jamaal Charles, would you then take Charles over Gurley?
Does he get 15 touches?
Yeah.
Yes. I want to see him get 15 touches.
I'd still rather have Gurley.
Oh, my gosh. Jamaal Charles is a better player than Todd Gurley.
Yes.
Presumably.
So you're just worried about him getting hurt again?
Well, I'm worried about him not being the same guy after getting hurt for the second time with his ACL. So I think that's a fair criticism.
It is.
It's a big week for both of these guys.
Adrian Peterson was a bust. He averaged 1.6 yards per carry in two games. I think the only thing to talk about with him is, does his struggles in those two games, and the fact that Jerick McKinnon's only really had one good game, right? Does that make you think that this offense just can't sustain a great running back?
I think as long as their offensive line is changing out parts every single week, that's true. If they could get like 4 weeks in a row with the same five guys playing offensive line, I think it'd get better.
Because I still think that you've got a chance. I don't know what to expect from McKinnon, but I really am. I believe that he's got potential to be awesome for the rest of the season. You know, look, a few weeks ago, we were talking about Seattle's offensive line being so bad, right? I don't know who was saying, but it was brought up. And now we're all pretty excited about Kristen Michael now that he sees the job. It's a concern that Matt Asiata got the goal line touchdown last week and got a lot of carries, but...
He's probably going to get the goal
McKinnon's
line.
McKinnon's a borderline number two. He's right there with Tevin.
The thing is, Matt Asiata's not going anywhere.
Matt Asiata, though?
Yeah.
What?
Asiata, maybe? Chris is just... He doesn't do pronunciations. It's not his game.
Look, man...
Man, he called you out for it, too.
It's so funny. I mean, Matt, we did the same thing in baseball.
Matt Ejada.
Yeah, Ejada.
He's not going anywhere. He's still the better pass
blocker. He's going into the end zone.
Among the two. They like him in the goal line. He's still going to get his work. And so that does put a bit of a limit on Jerick McKinnon. However, he's still had 17 touches in each of the last three games, 17 or more.
Yeah. All right. DeAndre Hopkins, guys. DeAndre Hopkins has been a bust. He's the number 20 wide receiver in standard, number 25 in PPR. Only 42 targets this year. So that's he averaged 12 targets per game last year, 8.4 this year. What do you think going forward for DeAndre Hopkins? And I want to mention something here. His next three matchups are against the Colts, at Denver, and Detroit. Those three teams have actually been very good against number one wide receivers, especially Denver, obviously, and Detroit. Jordy Nelson's the only number one wide receiver who did well against Detroit. I just want to bring that up.
I will sit him against Denver.
Thank you. Hopkins, though, I feel like it hasn't been that bad of a year for him. The Patriots game was awful. It was a Thursday night. The Tennessee game was what really shocked me.
Okay, so when I said I don't think Odell Beckham's quite a bust.
No, I do think he's a bust.
Definitely a bust.
I do think he's a bust. Like, I just don't think it's in that
Beckham's been much better than Hopkins. It's just Hopkins scored two more touchdowns.
In fantasy production, they've been about the same, though.
Probably.
Yes. Hopkins...
No, they have been.
On a per-target basis, he's basically been the same player as last season. I think he's at 1.13 fantasy points per target, whereas he was at 1.1 this season, 1.13 last season. That's a negligible difference. The problem is his targets are down 50%.
Yeah.
They've got another good receiver. And they've got a running back they want to give it to 25
and they're
times.
They're not forcing the ball to him.
Do you think... First of all, I don't think Miller's going to get 25. They talked about him getting more like 20.
Yeah.
Well, they figured out the Dolphins were right, and he can't handle that kind of workload.
Well, they liked him again in the Tennessee game when he had, I think, 19 carries, and they thought the reduced workload made him more effective, and he averaged like 4.3 yards per carry, which is a miracle for Lamar Miller. We obviously think Beckham is a buy low. Love him as a buy low. What about Hopkins?
Not so much. I think he's going to be right on the borderline of a number one wide receiver the rest of the year.
He's one of the guys that I don't think I would trade Melvin Gordon for right now that you mentioned.
Would you rather have Alshon or Hopkins?
They are so similar. I'm going to go with Alshon.
Can we get like some kind of intervention on this Brian Hoyer hates Alshon Jeffrey thing first and then you know figure that out? I think I'd rather have... Man, I don't know.
I'm going to go with Alshon. Because, really, I mean, what, Alshon's on pace for 1,400 yards or something?
Yeah.
He just hasn't scored a touchdown. So, and, I mean, he had 5 for 77 last week. It's not like he's not getting the yardage. That's eventually going to change. I'll go with Alshon.
Do you guys think Will Fuller is pretty legit? Number two receiver?
He's a...
Fantasy?
Yeah.
No. No, I don't think I would rely on him as a number two.
He's a boom-bust option.
He's been pretty damn good.
Rather play him at the flex.
Because his only two bad games were the New England game and the Minnesota game, right? And those are pretty tough matchups.
Right. Yes. No, that's true. I think he's a borderline number two.
Okay.
Not a definite number two.
Rob Gronkowski's been a bust so far. It's understandable. And look, 5 catches, 109 yards on 7 targets
Ran 36 routes in week 5 after only having 17 in the first two. I think Rob Gronkowski's back.
That play where he got down to the one,
yeah,
it was so awesome. Yeah. God, I love Gronk.
Yeah, that was classic Rob Gronkowski polar bear.
And Lamar Miller has been a bust.
Yep.
And he's been the number 22 running back in standard, number 20 in PPR. 3.7 yards per carry. He has faced the Bears, the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Titans, and the Vikings. I don't get it. It's got to be the offensive line, right? It's got to be. This guy has been good
every
year. The offensive
line, the offense in general.
He had 1 year, Miller, with 4 yards per carry, and in that year, the Dolphins had they've always have a bad offensive line. That year was particularly bad.
So you don't think there's any chance that he's just tired from the extra workload?
No, because it was week one.
Been bad in the first quarter.
Weeks one and week two. And he's no big plays.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. He has only 4% of his carries, 4% of his yards total have come on carries of more than 15 yards. He has one such carry. It went for 15 yards exactly. Like you said, no big plays. And this was a guy that, with his speed, you expect him to be a big play guy.
What do you think, guys?
I think it's definitely a buy low.
Yeah.
Miller or Gurley, rest of season.
Yeah, that's so tough.
That one's really interesting because I would expect similar workloads for both. I would say Gurley.
I'm going to go Gurley and standard, Miller and PPR.
Miller or Dez, PPR?
Miller.
Dez Bryant?
Yeah.
Miller.
I'm doing that on the assumption that Dez is back next week, which is... that was the time frame, right? He could miss 3 weeks. Okay, Miller or Mike Evans?
Mike Evans.
Evans.
All right. Let's get the legitometer out, and then we'll finish off with some emails. 0 to 10. 0, they are total frauds. I don't buy it. 10, oh, yeah, I buy it all the way. Matt Ryan, he is the number one fantasy quarterback. I know we don't expect that, but Matt Ryan as a top 8 fantasy quarterback.
Oh, top 8?
Nah, you know what? Let's do it the old-fashioned way. I'm sorry. Legitometer, Matt Ryan.
6, that he's this legit.
I will say, I think 6 is a good number, because that means I think he's going to be a startable option all year, but he's not going to be number one overall.
Okay. 12 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Do you know he has only the 14th most pass attempts in the NFL? So he's been, and he had 237 more yards than the next best guy.
Yeah, he's off to a...
And who is the next best guy?
Andy Dalton.
He's off to a historic start. He's averaging, I think, over 10 yards per attempt.
Derek Carr is the number 3 quarterback in fantasy. I'm feeling pretty good about this one. I think he's pretty legit. What do you think?
4. 5.
Really?
I think he's good.
So you take Ryan over Carr rest of season?
Yes.
The one thing I would say is that the Raiders have not really had a running game that they can depend on so far, and I think that's going to change at some point.
DeMarco Murray is the number 2 running back in standard, number 1 in PPR. Legitometer?
9.
Yeah, this is a good pick for those of you who got DeMarco Murray. Carlos Hyde, number 4 in standard, number 7 in PPR.
7.
5. He's legit as a talent.
He's getting a little inflated by touchdowns right
now.
Yeah,
right. I wanted to bring that up because he has been top 5, in 4th in standard, 7th PPR. Hyde still scares me a little bit. I still have the same fears that they're a bad team. He doesn't catch passes.
Yeah, but...
did he catch 6 passes in the last
game? The thing that's always been true about Chip Kelly's offense is it's always been high scoring. It's always been fast paced. It's not a passing first offense. And so I would guess he believes that he has the ability to make up points running the ball either way. So I think he'll still run the ball.
Yeah, he did catch six passes last week. I think probably not going to expect that going forward. Two wide receivers on the legitometer. Marvin Jones, number three in standard, number seven in PPR. Legitometer on Jones.
Four.
Six.
All right, let's talk about that. It's Heath, you give him a four.
I don't think he's going to be a top 10 wide receiver this year. I doubt he's a top 15 wide receiver the rest of the year. I'm glad that Stafford has rapport with Marvin Jones, and I think Jones looks like the most talented wide receiver in Detroit. What Jim Bob Cooter wants him to do, though, I believe, is spread the ball around a little bit more. So I wouldn't necessarily expect Jones to have the same target share that he's had so far this year. And, he's that high with one of the best games the receiver's had this year. He had a 200-yard receiving game. The other games have not been top 15 quality.
He's had at least 7 fantasy points in every game and at least 74 yards in 4 out of 5 games. So there seems to be a pretty good floor for Jones.
Right. Yeah, I think he's a solid number 2.
Okay. His target share is not that high.
Last week was a bad week for him.
He's only been targeted 41 times. That's not...
How many did he have last week?
5.
Okay.
4 catches, 37 yards, and a touchdown on 5 targets.
Yeah, so it was higher coming into this
his
week
target
before
share,
Cooter talked about Tate.
22.7% isn't... Like, that's high, but it's not so high that you would
what
expect.
What was it through 4 weeks? Because it would have been quite a bit higher.
It was a little lower.
A little higher, right?
Yes, let me...
Because I think... Jim Bob Cooter talked about this before their last game about how they needed to get Tate more involved. They needed the other guys more involved. And I wonder if we just started to see that last week.
You know, they used Tate as a running back last week.
Yes. They got to find some.
They went to the pistol offense, and everybody's just happy.
It was 23.1%, so it was a little lower. He hasn't been – it hasn't been an outrageously high target share.
So 23.1% of his team's targets?
Yes.
You'll see the
number – Before he got 5 last week?
Yes.
And it went up to 25? Or it went up to 22? Okay.
It was – 23.
Number one wide receivers could be around 30-ish%, right? Like the Julio Jones, Antonio Browns. They could
yeah,
get about
I mean,
30%
Julio Jones, I think, had the highest ever recorded last season.
Do you remember what it was?
It was very high.
I know I that I saw that his lowest in a game last year was 22%.
Okay.
I think 22% is fine for Marvin Jones if he's your number two.
Yeah.
It's not enough, I don't believe, to get him a number one.
Michael Crabtree.
But you drafted him as a number 3.
Michael Crabtree's number 6 overall. We don't think he's that good, but Michael Crabtree, is he legit? Starting him every week kind of guy?
3-4.
Crabtree, look, he's a good player.
Right.
And he's in a good offense with a developing quarterback. What scares me is that this is what happened last year. He slumped at the end of the year.
Yeah,
still got some touchdowns, though.
I think he's going to be pretty touchdown dependent. I think he'll probably finish around... I would guess something like 55, 60 yards per game moving forward.
I think he's going to catch touchdowns, though.
Yes.
So this is not a guy, Michael Crabtree, that you have to sell because you're going to get crap production the rest of the season or anything.
No, not at all. It's just if somebody thought that he was a definitive number 2 for the rest of the year, I'd probably sell him.
Julio Jones was at 33%, by the way, last season.
All right. Emails and tweets to end the show, guys. Let's do these quickly here. Marcelo wants us to discuss Jamaal Charles' trade value. I'm getting a lot of interest. Don't know if I should trade him.
I think this is a bad time to trade him.
It depends. I think...
What would you take for him?
I would probably... If I'm trading Jamaal Charles, I'm probably still eventually looking for number one running back value.
And you guys would take Todd Gurley for him.
Yes.
And Lamar Miller.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I just... For whatever reason, I probably should be considering the downside for more for Charles, right. But I'm just really excited about it.
There's a chance that he gets hurt, but there's also a chance that he's just not as good anymore.
That's what I mean, downside. Yeah. I should be considering that more. Maybe I'm being too optimistic. All right, Chris, Edelman or Fuller rest of year, standard scoring, Edelman or Fuller?
Edelman.
Okay. Giancarlo, I dealt Melvin Gordon for Demaryius Thomas. Grade the trade.
B+.
Yep.
Blake Mitchell, I traded Ivory and Beasley for Doug Baldwin.
A+.
Yeah, I like it. From Kevin, dear Alabama, Clarence, Dick, and Drexel.
I don't know.
That sounds like Dukes of Hazzard or something.
No, it's not anywhere close to Dukes of
what
Hazzard.
Is it?
I don't have any idea. But
well, it sounds Southern.
Well, because
the name the state's name is in it.
Yeah. This is Dukes of Hazzard. Perfect. Now it's True Romance.
Oh.
Never seen it. 10-team standard league. I need to pick up a defense for this week. Detroit, Baltimore, or Chicago?
I am going Chicago unless we hear for sure that Detroit's getting a couple players back.
Yeah, if Detroit gets their guys healthy, I think they've got a good chance.
From Jason, better stash, Bilal Powell or Alfred Morris? I do not own either Forte or Elliott.
Powell.
Yeah.
Powell's a better stash if you're expecting something. Like he's more likely to produce. But if they both get the opportunity, Morris is going to blow them away.
Yes.
Yes.
This is from Chris in San Antonio. Dear three men and a baby.
I'm left out again.
Did you guys know that I'm friends with the little lady from Three Men and a Little
Baby? No, you've only told me that every week since I've worked here.
I didn't know that.
Thank you, Chris.
What an interesting story, Adam.
Yeah. Would you trade Michael Crabtree for Dez Bryant straight up?
Yep.
Yeah.
And let's do one more from Hank. Grade the trade. Hi, Josh, Commissioner, and Ramsey. Come on. This is easy. These are Gordons.
Oh.
I traded Melvin Gordon for Allen Robinson.
B.
B plus.
That's it for today's show. I would call this an A plus show. Who needs Dave and Jamie? We got Heath and Chris. Some combination.
We'll see.
Some combination.
We'll see what people say.
Yeah. Maybe they'll start.
Might have been too negative.
I want to thank everybody for listening. We're back tomorrow with Start or Sit. See ya.